Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter and PWTorch.com and MMATorch.com. And now, the revitalized, revamped, relaunched PWPodcast.com. You're going to want to make PWPodcast.com a new daily stop, multiple times per day, probably, on your wrestling reading agenda. We've got news on one column of newsworthy quotes that wrestlers utter in interviews and some blogs reacting to it. And on the right column, we've got in-depth written podcast reviews for the podcasts you might not have a chance to listen to, or it'll help you decide which ones are worth listening to. We even provide timestamps so you can jump to the topics that are of most interest to you. We've got a detailed written report on Sam Roberts' podcast this week with Bray Wyatt, talking about which legend he wants at WrestleMania 34 and the evolution of his character, really opening up about that. Chris Jericho with the Rock and Roll Express, details on that interview, including the art of the hot tag and their Hall of Fame induction. Also, We Watch Wrestling with this Thursday's guest, ex-WWE creative team member Matt McCarthy. He'll be with me this coming Thursday on the show for Interview Thursday. He addresses JBL, Strowman Reigns, and more. Also, Edge and Christian with a Pot of Awesomeness featuring The Revival, talking about their main roster debut, and a recap of my interview with Justin Roberts last Thursday right here on the PW Torch Livecast. Longtime ex-WWE ring announcer, hitting a lot of topics. And if you didn't have a chance to hear the show or you want to review parts of the show in written format, check it out. Full detailed rundown. Also, Xbox interview with Adrian Street, The Ross Report with Alundra Blaze, Eric Bischoff, talking about the challenge of trying to promote to both kids and adults. Tony Schiavone reflecting on his days in WCW, and so much more. It's a really cool site. Andrew Socek is doing a great job helping me get this site relaunched in a big way. And I definitely encourage you to check it out, bookmark it, create a home screen button, all kinds of good stuff on there, including on the news side right now, Bret Hart. Some interesting newsworthy quotes from Bret. All right, well, we're going to talk primarily today about Monday Night Raw, which just ended with a ring collapsing. Now, they can't do this too often because, you know, it has diminishing returns. But boy, it's fun when they do it, when they take their time and don't do it too often. Big Show and Braun Strowman in the main event, and a superplex led to the ring collapsing. I think the referee took the worst bump of them all on this fall. It was a longer match than we anticipated, I think. And so that was one of the highlights of the show. So anyway, Greg Parks will be joining me momentarily. Greg, I don't see you on the switchboard, so drop me a quick email if you're calling from a different number and push 1 on your Touchstone phone so I don't have to scroll through 30-some callers here who are on the switchboard. We'll be taking your calls, and you can get in line on the phone banks, 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. You can also email pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. That is pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. And we might get to some emails, hope to, and we'll certainly get to your calls reacting to tonight's show. It was a little bit of a step back from the crazy newsworthiness of the last couple of weeks, the last few weeks, the go-home show before Mania, the day after Mania, the Raw after Mania, and then the superstar shakeup. So things started to settle into place. However, we didn't get a complete break in terms of who's on which brand, because we had Bray talking about Randy Orton, and then a little bit of a Chris Jericho. Well, he wasn't on the wrong brand, but he was talking about Kevin Owens and his title shot. So there's some references to a couple SmackDown wrestlers, but otherwise, things started to settle into place. I thought a really good Miz TV segment with Dean Ambrose establishing his character. I thought Seth Rollins was once again strong on the microphone, interacting with Joe, who was also strong. So they really shifted now to hyping Payback, and I thought that they did a good job with it. But the show just ended. We go on the air right after Raw. I'll be by the way, tomorrow, right after SmackDown also, reacting to SmackDown. So let's try to digest the show with longtime Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter columnist, my co-host for today's show, Greg Parks. Greg, welcome to the Monday Night Livecast.
Glad to be here with you, Wade.
Well, what's your takeaway from the show? I sort of feel like, okay, we're back to normal now. And that can be bad. It can be boring. It can be good because things just kind of settle in and it turns into a regular show again without Mania dominating or the superstar shakeup kind of being a crutch for an otherwise not so newsworthy show. That wasn't really the case last week, thanks to the big Braun Roman angle. But your thoughts on the new normal?
Well, it felt like this show was really lacking in star power for whatever reason. You know, Braun Strowman, you had the whole show angle of his continuing his domination that he started last week against Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns not on the show, which was a positive in my mind. You couldn't have him on the show after last week telling the injuries that he was going through there. But it just felt, you know, Seth Rollins was briefly on the show, Finn Balor briefly on the show, Braun Strowman was the focus, Big Show was the focus. It didn't feel like a star power heavy show that we've been seeing. You know, there's no Goldberg anymore, there's no Brock Lesnar anymore, there's no Undertaker, no Triple H. So you go from that WrestleMania season where you have so many part-timers, so many of the guys who WWE protects as stars, because there were stars in another era, and that's how even the fans today see them, because they're booked that way. And now what you're left with is, you know, no Kevin Owens, who's on SmackDown now for the time being. It just really felt lacking in star power tonight.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, and I think that we are at a transitional phase, because you've got Miz and Dean Ambrose, who are, I mean, if you watch both around SmackDown, they're not new. They're just on a different night. But Finn Balor is back, and that adds some fresh star power to the match. I thought they did a nice job framing him as a big deal, Greg. I thought that they talked about him as James Dean, who's the second person they compared him to, Gunslinger from way back when.
John Wayne?
Thank you. Yes, I had Wayne something in my head. I knew it wasn't Wayne Newton, because that would be really weird. John Wayne, thank you. and I thought it was a good comparison, but maybe a little dated. I'm not sure, as Vince would call them, the damn millennials, necessarily have super familiarity with both of them, but maybe I'm wrong. I mean, maybe some do, but I thought that they presented him well. And the Hardys are fresh acts since WrestleMania too. So I wasn't as bothered by the star power, it didn't seem as noticeable to me. And part of that is I appreciate when they get something out of Big Show. I wish that they had built him up a little bit more the past couple months. So Braun going toe-to-toe with Big Show for a 15-plus minute match would not have felt as out of place, you know, because I don't think Braun has been so protected, Greg, and Big Show hasn't. So it could hurt Braun a little bit. That said, the ring collapse in the end negates any of that. I mean, it just overrides anything you saw. But I will say I think the residual is Big Show, if they want to do something with him, I think gained something from lasting that long and being that competitive with Braun. I don't think at this stage, given how Big Show's been so poorly booked in recent years and invisible in recent months, I don't think that Braun gained from holding his own against Big Show. Like, I think Braun is the bigger star right now.
Yeah, I think what Braun gained from that match is what we saw at the end, where he was the last man standing. He kicked out of the choke slam. He kicked out of the right hand by Big Show, two of his finishers, which have been, throughout the years, really protected for someone like the Big Show. As much as Big Show hasn't been protected lately, those two finishers in particular have been. And then he stands up after the ring collapses, and Big Show is still, it appears to be, out cold in the middle of the ring, and Strowman is standing. So you're right, I don't think he necessarily got much from the actual match itself, other than kicking out of those finishers, but being the guy to be the last man standing, given that bump and the ring breaking, I think that's where they put their money there.
I agree. So anyway, we're going to take calls. You guys listening to us live here can lead the way. Of course, you can listen to us live. You can find the link to stream the show at pwtorchlivecast.com. And if you are among the majority who don't listen live, great. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, any popular podcast app. I think we're the top pro wrestling return on Stitcher. We're usually the top non-wrestling personality hosted podcast in iTunes. And we thank everybody for that. In fact, if you like what we do here, go to the iTunes and Stitcher commentary and give us a 5-star rating and leave some comments on why it is you enjoy the show and how it stands out from the crowd that is out there. It's always helpful, and I always like checking that out and seeing some nice comments that our listeners leave. But our phone number right now, 515-605-9345. We're going to go to our first break, and when we come back, your phone calls, so stay tuned. If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com. All right, we are back. Greg Parks, longtime Pro Wrestling Torch columnist, is my guest on today's program. Why don't we dive right into phone calls and get some feedback on tonight's show, and we'll begin with, looks like, John in Arizona. You are up first. Thanks, John. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing great, thanks.
I just have, I thought Raw was good tonight, but I just have a quick comment. I'm just going to be extremely disappointed if Braun doesn't go over on Roman at Payback. That's really about it, because I think he's just a total monster, and he needs to be a monster. That's about it.
It's Greg, it's a good point. I mean, everything they're doing for Braun is effective in terms of building him up as a monster. I mean, beating up Goldust and R-Truth backstage, making Rhino and Heath Slater cower. The way that they are just pushing Braun is so effective, but the fact that it's all just to put over Roman Reigns, perhaps, I think can lead to a backlash. Your thoughts on that match, that finish, and whether that's a good or bad thing, or if there's a way to kind of have the best of both worlds with the way that they do the finish, and in a way put Roman over but also keep Braun strong, or vice versa, put Braun over but keep Roman strong.
What people have to remember is when a heel monster gets built the way Braun Strowman is getting built, it's usually for a specific purpose, that being to eventually put over a top babyface. Now, that could happen at Backlash, where Roman Reigns goes over Braun Strowman, and they've built Strowman for Reigns to get that moment over him. But depending on the schedule and depending on, you know, what schedule Brock Lesnar is going to work going forward, they could put Strowman over Reigns, or like you said, kind of have a happy medium where there's a disqualification or there's a post-match attack, some sort of 50-50 booking there to get them to the next pay-per-view. But the eventuality is going to be Roman Reigns going over Braun Strowman. I don't see a way where Strowman beats Reigns and then they go their separate ways. I just don't think that's the end game here.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of hard to imagine. John, is there any way that you'd be satisfied if Roman wins, but they do something to make Braun still look really cool and strong? Or, I mean, do you just need Braun to go over?
I mean, if I see Braun lose, I'm just, I mean, that just shows me that, you know, that the company just wants Reign to be number one. And I just think,
well, they do.
The way they're pushing him should be number one, because he's just being total badass, and I just think he should be on top. I mean, that's all.
Sure, absolutely. I appreciate your call. I think your sentiment is you are not alone in your sentiment, John. Give us a call again. Appreciate it. Let's go next to area code 203. 203, you are on live. Please state your name and the city you're calling from. Go ahead, 203. Oh, 203 just dropped. Oh, wait, no. 203, speak now or forever hold your peace. All right, we're hanging up on you. We tried. Call us back. All right, let's go to 320 and hope for better luck with 320. Go ahead and state your name, 320. And Wart City.
Hi. Hi, it's Will from Hopkins.
Hey, Will, thanks for calling. Hopkins, awesome. What's on your mind?
Just sticking with that suplex at the top rope.
Yeah.
Is that having any correlation with Brock Lesnar when he did that big show back in, what was that, 2005? I can't remember the exact year, but just thinking maybe that they're going to build a matchup with those two later down the road.
It's a good point, Greg. That creates a visual and more of a reason to see some parallels between those two to set up what I think is an inevitable money match between them.
Yeah, Strowman and Lesnar, I think you've got to do that at some point. You know, if it's over the summer, then you look at that Reigns-Strowman match coming up at Backlash and you say, okay, if you want Reigns to win, how do you do it in a way where Strowman keeps his credibility if you want him to go into something with Lesnar over the summer? Because I agree. I think Lesnar and Strowman is something you've got to do at some point, probably in the near future, because you've built up Strowman into such a monster. Really, the closest comparison is Brock Lesnar at this point, as far as his character and just that dominating fashion. So it's kind of the match I think that fans would clamor for, too. But again, you've got to work that Reigns-Strowman finish at Backlash to where Strowman still has something going for him for that Lesnar match if they do it.
Do you think that they did this specifically because of the Lesnar spot, or do you think they might have done this anyway, and that's just a happy convenience? I mean, when you have Big Show and Braun against each other, I could see them wanting to do that match anyway, but I'm kind of wondering if they didn't actually do the match specifically because they thought of this finish. They didn't think of the finish after they booked the match.
Well, that's a valid question, especially when you consider, you know, that Lesnar-Strowman by now, given the importance of Lesnar's dates and things like that, they if that match is to come over the summer, they've probably already got that penciled in on the calendar. So, you know, it's not exactly the chicken or the egg here, but I think they probably would have done it anyway, just because that seems to, you know, the ambulance flipping was a tremendous success as far as getting fans talking. You know, it maybe not a success in the way of getting fans emotionally invested in Roman Reigns, you know, because everybody was loving Braun Strowman for what he did. But it was a tremendous success as far as word of mouth goes. So it doesn't surprise me to see them come back the next week and try a similar stunt on the show.
Anything else, Will?
I'm a big Dean Ambrose fan, and I thought that promo tonight was more towards the Dean Ambrose that I want to see.
Yes.
I don't like the Dean Ambrose, the kooky Dean Ambrose. I want to see more of a Dean Ambrose that's like, I don't know how to explain it, but I just thought more James Dean. Yeah.
Yeah.
You think they're going to give him more freedom or just keep him as the kooky Dean Ambrose?
Well, I think it's a good sign, Will and Greg. I think that one of the things that I like about the Superstar Shakeup, and I like about the roster split period, is, I mean, there are writers assigned to each show. So not only do you have wrestlers going to a new show, presumably to have new opponents, not necessarily with Dean and Miz, but in general that's the case, but you have new writers taking a fresh look at the talent. And I think a lot of times writers can get in a rut. John Pierre-Marini, who was a creative team member in WWE in 2009 and 2010, has been on this show a dozen or so times. And he talked a lot about how being a wrestler, a mid-card wrestler or an upper-card wrestler, you need to have a writer who you have a good rapport with and who you can work with and you're in sync and you come up with good ideas together. And sometimes a writer's putting all the words out there on their own, presenting it to the wrestler. Sometimes a wrestler is giving the writer ideas and the writer then kind of builds something and that they can work with that is a little more polished. whatever it is, having a writer work with you is good. And I have a feeling there's some writers on Raw who feel like, hey, I think I can do something different with Dean. Let me talk to him and see if he's game for this. And that's probably happening a decent amount on both brands. So I hope that this is a more serious Dean Ambrose, because his upside is higher than a very good character who is playing. I mean, there would be absolutely no shame in Dean Ambrose having a career playing. I thought he wasn't as zany now as he was like a year and a half ago. He hadn't been lately. He had been better than that, but he was still kind of this flighty, ditzy, nonchalant character. And I like that he explained tonight that people mistake a lot of what I just said for him not caring, as opposed to what he reframed it as, which is, I'm not worried about Twitter followers. I'm not worried about being popular in the way that a lot of other wrestlers like you, Miz, are. I just enjoy what I do, and I'll do it in front of 200 people or 100,000 people and be just as happy. And I think that's because I don't mind black eyes, and I like a good fight. You know, and he had to filter everything through WWE speak. You know, there's certain words he's not allowed to use that would have been more natural. But I liked it. I thought it set him up to be elevated. And it's one of my favorite Dean promos for that reason in quite a long time. I think a very long time. Greg, your thoughts on that?
The other thing he has going for him now is he's being positioned with The Miz. And The Miz is coming off a couple really good feuds, one of them the latest with John Cena, where Miz was just fire on the mic. And, you know, the whole worked shoot angle of what he says cuts just close enough to home to have a lot of believability to it. And they trotted that out tonight with Dean Ambrose. And if you're going to have the promo battles between The Miz and Dean Ambrose, Miz is going to draw him into those more serious promos and get him away from that wacky, zany character that he portrayed for a while on SmackDown. So I think by being paired with The Miz here on Raw, he's kind of being grounded, is Dean Ambrose, into a more serious character, but there's still aspects of him that are a lot lighter than some of the other wrestlers.
Yes, I agree. Well, while you were talking and I was listening to Greg, I'm sending a text to Steve Austin to tell him to check this interview out if he DVR'd it or watches it on Hulu. Because I think, you know, Steve was somebody who on that podcast on WWE Network, the Stone Cold podcast, you know, told Dean he's got to, you know, do something more than he was doing. And I don't think Dean liked it. It was uncomfortable watching it. It was awkward. There was some tension. And yet, you can't help but have that plant a seed in you if you're Dean Ambrose. Steve Austin is telling you there's something more there that you haven't tapped into. And maybe it took some time and a new writer, whatever it was. But I'm curious if Steve comments on an upcoming podcast of his, if he comments that, hey, I saw that promo, and that's what I was trying to get out of Dean. Or maybe Steve thinks, no, that's still not where it needs to be. So anyway, we'll see if he catches that. I know he doesn't always watch Raw. So I am curious, because I do think this is Steve. I think this is what Steve was talking about. I'll put it that way. I think it falls into that category. Will, anything else for us?
No, that's it. I appreciate all you guys' insight.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Will. Call again.
Yep.
If you are calling us, just always be sure to push 1 on your Touchstone phone in order to move into the caller queue. Otherwise, you'll just be in the standby mode, and we won't go to you. So when you do call us, 515-605-9345, push 1 on your Touchstone phone. We're going to go to our next break, and when we come back, more of your calls. We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com, or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com. We are back on the PW Torch livecast. Thanks for joining us today. You can always find our show at PWTorchLivecast.com. And don't forget to check out our new sister site or a relaunched sister site, pwpodcast.com. I talked about it at the top of the show, but just a reminder, every day, new interview highlights, in-depth written podcast reviews from all the top stars who are doing podcasts these days. A lot of content there every day, a lot to catch up on if you haven't been to the site yet, and check it out every single day. Also, we do have PW Torch Livecast t-shirts, and we encourage you to check that out. Just go to pwtorchtees.com. That's pwtorchtees.com. Four different colors, four different logos, four different styles. Check it out, including two with the PW Torch Livecast logo. You can wear it to a wrestling show, wear it to the gym, wear it around town, and see if you bump into any other Livecast listeners who you can strike up a conversation with. I'm joined by Greg Parks, Pro Wrestling Torch columnist, and we are talking about Raw tonight, tomorrow night, right after SmackDown. I'll be live on the air reviewing SmackDown with you, the listeners who call the show, and reading your emails. Wednesday, Sean Radican scheduled to join me. That may change depending on his situation right now, but the goal is for him to be on the show Wednesday. So tune in Wednesday for the midweek flagship. And then Thursday, as I noted earlier, Matt McCarthy, ex-WWE creative team member, joins me to talk about everything going on since WrestleMania. It's always a pleasure to have Matt on the show. Really good conversation with him. By the way, not only was Justin Roberts on the live cast last Thursday, but the week before that, JTG from Crime Time. Both have, very different paths in WWE. One a wrestler, one a ring announcer, but they were around during similar time periods, and they both shared some similar stories. They each had different experiences, but also some overlap in terms of how they felt they were treated by management. So if you missed that, it's definitely worth checking out. You can always find our past interviews at pwtorchlivecast.com. Just click on the Interview Thursday category on the menu if you want to jump to just interviews. We also have our latest interviews on the right sidebar. So they're isolated on the right sidebar to make it even easier to catch up on interviews that you might have missed. All right, PW Torch columnist Greg Parks is with me as co-host on today's program. And we've got more callers. And let's go next to 475, area code 475. Please state your name and where you're calling from. I'll give you a second here, 475, to take us off speakerphone or get ready. And in three more seconds, we'll go back to you. So 475, if you're ready for us. Oh, 475 dropped off. All right. Got some first-time callers here. And so far, they seem to be getting nervous or not prepared, Greg. So, all right, first-time callers, step up. Step up. All right, let's go next to Eric in Charlotte. Eric, VIP member, thanks for calling. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to piggyback off that first caller. I agree with you, Wade, from the last few months where you talk about there need to be outlaws and the wrestlers don't need to wait single fire file for the drinking fountain. And I realized in the last couple of weeks how your talks at Braun Strowman is now fitting that persona really well, being the outlaw. He does whatever he wants. He's beating people up whenever he wants, and he doesn't listen to any of the GMs. He just does whatever. And kind of the worst part about it is he's a heel. So it just seems like they're finally doing something right, but you're supposed to boo him. So all their instincts kind of the opposite of what they should be doing right now with him and the other faces.
I agree. I think it is. I mean, the reaction, Greg, after last week's show with the big angle with Roman is they just turned Braun into the biggest babyface in, you know, since the Attitude Era. I think that's probably a bit of an overstatement, but what's your take on the outlaw aspect of things? I mean, I thought Dean was an outlaw. I thought Finn Balor in his own way was treated as a bit of an outlaw in a different way. They're injecting that into the show in a way that I think is needed and refreshing. I think it's one of the reasons I just kind of had a good vibe for most of Raw tonight. I have no idea, and we'll talk about it maybe later, that Dana Brooke, Alicia Fox, Emma segment. That was weird. But overall, I mean, I think there's some things moving in a good direction. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think the outlaws, you'd like to have the baby faces be outlaws but with a moral center. And I think that's the key difference between how you want baby faces booked compared to heels. And I think you're seeing the positive reaction to Braun Strowman is, even though he's a heel with no discernible moral center, he is that outlaw that is so missing in today's wrestling that fans are willing to cheer for him, even though he doesn't have that part of him that's that's grounded, that knows when too much is too much, or that, you know, will help another baby face in need or anything like that. I just think these characters are so rare, and he's right now he's just so outside the box of what WWE is offering that fans want to cheer that. You know, if they had guys who weren't always, you know, bowing to Stephanie McMahon's every whim, or, you know, I'm a WWE superstar and it's been my dream and all I've ever wanted to do is be a superstar and I'm just so thankful to be here. That kind of attitude that just permeates the roster, then I don't think you would see Strowman getting the accolades he is. But because he is the only guy who's booked like this, booked to be this monster, booked to be this I don't care ass kicker, I think that's why you're seeing the fans gravitate toward him.
It's so nice to not have Triple H demeaning him or Stephanie McMahon talking down to him. You know, that's, you know, anybody who avoids that is in a better position. And it's one of the big downsides, you know, of the roles that Stephanie and Hunter play. And Braun is the positive reaction to Braun, I think, is part of that. Eric, anything else for us?
Yeah, I also wanted to talk about the commentators. It's more of a nitpick, but it was noticeable. Sure. I feel like I had to vent about something. I was watching the end of the Finn Balor match, like when all the celebrations, they were talking about how great he was and all that, which was good. But at the very end, Cole just suddenly turns to Booker T and says, "And you're not a person that's usually impressed." And just thought that was so unnecessary and such a non sequitur for a man whose gimmick had like 30 people in his Fate 5 list as a commentator. It just took me out of the moment and just felt really a waste and unnecessary.
Greg, did you catch that and do you have a reaction?
I didn't, but I think that's just a way to, you know, by saying that Booker T isn't easily impressed, that makes what he's being impressed at even more impressive. So I think that's kind of what they were going for. But yeah, for a guy who had his fave fives back in the day of SmackDown color commentary, it doesn't exactly jive with what Cole was saying.
Greg, how'd you think Booker did tonight?
He was Booker. You know, he had his moments where you kind of sit back and say, like, what did he just say or what is he talking about? But
yeah.
For the most part, I think Graves is so good. And Cole is good in his role with what he's asked to do that, you know, Booker kind of blended in a little better and they were able to not rein him in, but they kept the show on track even with him kind of going off on tangents every once in a while.
Yeah, I felt like Cole was playing the role that Byron or Otunga would normally play in defending the baby faces and standing up for them. And I thought Booker just came across as a little rusty in, when it comes to, you know, fitting in on the color commentary. It might be a lack of familiarity with the product. I mean, I don't know how much he's watching Raw and SmackDown, to be honest. Sometimes it sounded like Cole was that. What was it? There was one point where either Cole or Corey said, "Oh, Booker, you're going to like this." And it was like something that happens every week. And they were kind of implying, you know, that he's not going to be something that he's not familiar with. So anyway, yeah, I thought Booker was a little rusty, but when he did talk, which wasn't all that often, I wasn't impressed. I mean, I don't think he added much of anything. And there was the one point after the tag match with Anderson and Gallows winning, he's like, you know, tag team specialists doing what they have to do to win or something like that. And I'm just like, why is he still going back to the idea that doing whatever it takes to win is what Booker in his role should be complimenting, you know? So anyway, Eric, anything else?
Yeah, I mostly agree. I was just thinking if that line was directed at Corey Graves, it would be fine. But when people watch Booker T, they just heard the credibility. Also, I remember it was like 10:50. And he said, "We have plenty more action for you." When someone who's watched one and two episodes, no, they have like one more segment at most, or mostly. So that was just another one that kind of hurt the credibility of his commenting. And that's it. Just thanks for the show, and take care.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it. All right, let's go to area code 973. 973, you're up next. What's on your mind? Or please state your name and what city you're calling from first.
Hey, Wade, Greg, this is Andrew calling from Las Vegas. I'm about a 2 or 3 year VIP subscriber, but first time caller to the live cast.
Andrew, thank you.
Three points that I really want to hit up here. Yeah, thanks. I don't want to really reopen this conversation about Braun and the whole his booking standpoint, but I wanted to point out his promos. I didn't think he was that great of a talker in his segment with Kurt Angle. He was decent. He had decent responses, but there's something about this. Maybe it's when watching Raw, there's a WWE speak. I'm expecting him to pause and let the crowd react and give a timely response and breathe in something. But I thought he was okay. He wasn't great. I'm glad he got booked the way he did today. I'm glad he got to beat up people in the back and, like we were talking about earlier, be an outlaw. I'm glad he got that superplex spot and he got to stand up and he got that roar at the end because, of course, actions speak louder than words. That was something that I was really happy with. Second point, I want to get to Samoa Joe and Seth Rollins. Simple and effective. I was worried after Jericho had the coquina clutch, or after Joe took Jericho out with the coquina clutch, that he was going to have one of those wild Samoa Joe from TNA screaming promos. But I was glad he toned it down. He was a little bit heelish and brooding. He said some simple things like, this was business, and now it's going to become personal. Seth Rollins kept it simple. Payback's going to be, I don't know if I can say this on the air, but Payback's going to be a bitch. Last part, this was something I tweeted. I don't know if you saw this, but there was all this bully talk that we've been talking about the past weeks from whether it's JTG or Moro or Justin Roberts. There was something about Jericho's backstage promo about the after his loss and he's facing Kevin Owens. He was telling with the backstage interviewer, Mike Rome, and he kept calling him Tom Phillips. And it was a playful thing. Of course, it's Chris Jericho. Everyone loves it. You're wanting to get on the list, and you see the Drifter in the back, and it's lighthearted comedy. But there was something about it when he made him, at the end of the promo, he called him Tom. He gave him a little pat on the back, and then you see Jericho walks away, and Mike Rome has his tail tucked between his legs. It left a bad taste in my mouth that, something that, I don't know if this was planned by WWE or it's just me, everything I've been feeling about everything we've been talking about on the live cast and everything I've been hearing and from everywhere else, but it left me a sour taste in my mouth that this is a guy, this is how they treat people. Maybe it's just WWE, how they treat their announcers or any of their personnel, but I don't know if it's intentional. Maybe it was. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, they've done that. Jericho's done that before with him, even predating the JBL controversy and Justin Roberts' book coming out. So I'm in that respect hesitant to read into it as something they did like in reaction to it. Booker said best seat in the house. Somebody asked on Twitter, was that a shot at Justin Roberts? And I'm just thinking, no, that's just Booker commenting on the fact that he's sitting 100 feet from the ring instead of at ringside now. And it, maybe he had that on his mind, but I bet if you ask Booker, he doesn't know what the name of Justin Roberts' book is, someone said on the line, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, we're all looking to read into things. I think what happened with Jericho and Tom/Mike was fun because of the way that Jericho did it, that there was a tongue in cheek aspect to it. I didn't come across as dickish. It came across as kind of goofing on him a little bit. But you're right, in the context of the WWE culture, you end up, if you're bothered by some of what's been going on in WWE recently and in, over the past 15 years, and the reputations of Triple H and Kevin Dunn and JBL, I mean, Greg, you can look at a segment like that and say WWE has to start maybe rethinking even doing that for a while, just to avoid the feeling that Andrew had watching it, which is this feels like somebody in power, a rich, famous, successful wrestler, demeaning a guy who's just trying to do his job. Is that being overly sensitive, Greg, or do you think there's something there that WWE should be aware of and concerned about?
Well, I think the treatment of backstage announcers in general is just really weird.
That's a good way to put it.
I don't know. Every wrestler who gets interviewed backstage takes a shot at the interviewer for some reason. And it's just, I don't understand the mentality of it. I'm sure there's a deep seated in Vince McMahon's mind reason for why he does that. But I think if you're looking at it from a bullying angle, I think, the whole Big Show Braun Strowman backstage segment and Twitter kind of reacted to it this way as well. At least some people on Twitter, you know, when Big Show knocked over the bully Braun Strowman and said, pick on someone your own size. There was all this, you know, reaction. I was like, whoa, is this WWE's reaction to, you know, the bullying thing, that they're going to have Big Show stand up to this bully in Braun Strowman and all that kind of stuff. So I kind of read into that segment more as far as the bullying aspect rather than the backstage announcer with Jericho.
Andrew, yeah, your follow-up.
Oh, no, it's just the same kind of thoughts, but I think that from the eyes of, you know, viewers like us, we probably watch, you know, reading into everything a little bit more. With Jericho, I think I'm a little more forgiving with him because, you like you mentioned, he had done this a little bit before there was any controversy with Moro. It is in a nature where it's lighthearted and joking, and maybe a little bit is deflected with having the Drifter, and you're not necessarily poking fun directly at Tom Phillips or Mike Rome, sorry, putting him on the list, and you're going to put the Drifter on the list now. And put that in perspective, contrast that with JBL being put in the heat of this, you know, whole controversy, and having him behave like, you know, all friendly to Byron and have the way he is. It's very noticeable. I'm more forgiving in a positive sense with Jericho, but it's still something that, in my eye, I'm trying to read between the lines. I don't know if there's anything there, but it just makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable when they do a bit like that with everything around it. I don't know if they're thinking too deeply about that segment, but I think maybe there is, now that you mention it, definitely something around a bully standing up to a bully with a lot of bully controversy.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, if they end up cleaning up the storytelling a little bit and start getting back to what pro wrestling usually has been. Well, Bruce Mitchell did a great column on this in last week's Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, available for VIP members on the pwtorchvip.com ad-free website. Go subscribe at pwtorch.com/govip. Get nearly 30 years of archives and a dozen plus exclusive podcasts per week, along with ad-free and plug-free editions of this live cast, other than this one, which I'll probably forget to edit out because it's right in the middle of a call. But check it out. Bruce did a great job with that. And just talking about the, you know, he's watched this business for 40 years and studied it and read every book. And I mean, there are ways to do wrestling different than WWE does it. And sometimes, as I think JTG, Justin Roberts, show, there's a culture in WWE that is established by Vince McMahon at the very top that leads to some booking that doesn't make a lot of sense in terms of how it usually goes. You know, Sam Roberts was on the midweek flagship, and I was talking to him about some of these topics, and he talked about some of them, and he's a big fan of WWE, and he, you know, does their pre-shows and has a relationship with them. And it was a controversy this week. Peter Rosenberg, Justin Roberts responded to him. Peter Rosenberg and Sam Roberts are saying, you know, mostly positive things, are all positive things about their experience in WWE. And I think they're being honest. I don't think Coach is, but I think Rosenberg and Sam are, because they're celebrities in the eyes of WWE, because they work for Sirius. They work for larger media entities, and they're New York-based. That's the type of thing that gets you good treatment. But when you're Tom/Mike, or your Justin Roberts, you get picked on. And each person has their own experience depending on where they fall. And that culture does express itself on television with the interviewers getting picked on. That is some of what goes on behind the scenes seeping onto TV. I'd like to see the attention it's getting lead to change. And if that happens, it doesn't undo some bad judgment along the way, but something good will come out of this. And I think something good can come out of this. And part of that is having bullies stood up to on television and telling those stories better. And again, I point everybody to Bruce Mitchell's column in last week's newsletter, because he just did a great job, especially the way Mick Foley was treated on the way out, showing a recent example of how messed up WWE storytelling is when it comes to this kind of subject matter. Anything you want to add to that, Greg?
Well, you know, just going back to the Chris Jericho discussion and talking to Mike Rome tonight, the thing to remember is Chris Jericho is now a babyface. So I guess should he even be engaging in that kind of conversation with Mike Rome, where he's, you know, he was doing it more playfully here than when he was a heel, I guess, pretending that Mike Rome was Tom. But you know, Mike Rome was not, he didn't have this half smile on his face going back and forth to Jericho. He was kind of getting exasperated with Jericho based on his reaction. So that kind of sways things too, but you know, you could even raise the question, should Jericho as a babyface even be continuing, as much as the fans as a whole enjoyed the shtick of him going back and forth with the announcer, should he as a babyface even be doing that now?
Well, I think they're probably getting asked that question a little more now and getting some outside pressure a little more now than they had been, and that's a good thing. Andrew, really appreciate the call. Good conversation.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the show. I love signing up for VIP. I love what you guys do. Have a great rest of the show. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, we're going to go to our next break, and when we come back, more calls, and we might dip into the email bank too. So stay tuned, everybody. Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the livecast. Thank you. Are you on a quest for epic gear, housewares, and collectibles? Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month. Whether you're shopping for the geek in your life or if you are that geek, Loot Crate is the best surprise you know is coming. Every month, there's a different theme and new exclusive items you can only get with Loot Crate. Treat yourself every month or give the gift of geeking out to a friend or loved one. For April, join them as they salute some of their favorite mystery solvers with items from Stranger Things, Batman, The X-Files, and Marvel's Jessica Jones. One lucky subscriber will also win a mega crate, including signed copies of Jessica Jones, Alias, Volumes 1 through 4. The clock is ticking. You have until Wednesday, the 19th of April, this Wednesday, at 9 p.m. Pacific, to subscribe and receive this month's crate. When the cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. Make sure to head over to lootcrate.com and enter coupon code, promo code PWTorch, to save $3 off any new subscription today. That's lootcrate.com. Promo code PWTorch saves $3. All right, we're back on the post-Raw episode of the PW Torch livecast. I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher and founder of the Pro Wrestling Torch Weekly Newsletter and PWTorch.com, and I'm joined by Pro Wrestling Torch columnist Greg Parks. Greg, our last caller mentioned VIP membership. Talk about your column. Give us a little preview of what's coming up this week in the Torch newsletter.
Yeah, I just submitted a column today talking about WWE's emphasis on WrestleMania moments on television and kind of how that affects the viewer and thinking about WrestleMania moments versus wins and losses at WrestleMania. And I look back over the past three WrestleManias and I look to see if what we would consider or what WWE considers WrestleMania moments matched up with wins and losses. And if they kind of went together and were linked together or if they were very different. And I kind of came to a conclusion at the end of the column that I think it surprised me a little bit. So that's going to be on the way this week for VIP members.
It's a real anchor on page 10 of the newsletter each week. The new Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter is usually posted every Wednesday, on occasion on a Thursday, but usually on Wednesdays, and usually almost every week on page 10 is Greg Parks' full-page in-depth column on a current topic in wrestling, a wide array of topics. Greg does a really nice job with the column, and it's one of the reasons, even if you mainly subscribe for all the extra podcasts, over 50 podcasts a month that are VIP exclusive, plus ad-free versions of the live cast, the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter with exclusive columns from Greg Parks and Bruce Mitchell, among others, my endnotes column, my cover story, roundtable pay-per-view reviews from the Torch staff, and much more, is a big part of the VIP experience. and it comes in PDF and all text formats. You can read it on your phone or download the PDF and read it on your laptop in its regular kind of magazine style layout. And when you go VIP, you get access to around 1,500 back issues dating back to the late 1980s with my star ratings and review of every pay-per-view over the last nearly 30 years, among many, many other things, including before there were wrestler-hosted podcasts, before there was even podcasts, before there were shoot tapes on VHS, I was doing Torch Talk interviews. And you can catch up on just about every Torch Talk that we've done in the back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter. There's a page you can go to, and it's simple. There's 1988, 1989, 1990, and on all the way through 2017. You click on that year and scroll through the issues. You can see a preview of what's in that issue. Do a search on that page for hot topics that you're curious about from that year. I know there's VIP members who sign up and they just march through the whole back issues. It takes them a long time, but they read through the newswire, the backstage news, the one-on-one Q&A interviews that were in-depth, sometimes in 5, 10, 15 installments. Really good in-depth interviews that are a time capsule for a different era in wrestling when there were almost no long-form on-record, open and honest, behind-the-scenes style interviews with wrestlers, promoters, bookers, managers, and more. So a lot of reasons to go VIP. Check it out, pwtorch.com/Go VIP. I think you'll love it. If you like the show, this is just the tip of the iceberg, as they say. There's so much more when you go VIP. Plus, the website, our mobile site, and our desktop site go ad-free. And it's a really slick layout. And we walk you through how to find everything on the VIP website to kind of tell you where all the nooks and crannies are, some of the deep archives, the deep state archives from previous eras. But that'll be something you might be interested in. All right, Greg Parks is my co-host, and let's get back to phone calls. And let's go to another potential first-time caller, 630. You are up next. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hey, this is Dan from Carroll Stream.
Dan from where? I'm sorry?
Carroll Stream, Illinois.
Oh, okay, cool. I'm hearing a little music in the background, so it's hard to hear you at first.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yep.
I feel like, I thought Braun should have been built up a little bit stronger. Maybe run through Big Show.
Yeah, that was a concern of mine that they didn't. I said that at the top of the show, Dan, that they didn't build up Big Show all that much. And so, in a way, you know, you kind of expect maybe Braun to plow through Big Show. And that seems to be what you're getting at, too. Dan?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else?
Off the top of my head, no. What are they going to do with the tag team division going forward? Are the Hardys going to defend against Cesaro and Sheamus, or are they going to go to Enzo and Cass and maybe give them a title reign?
Sure, absolutely. Well, I think, Greg, the Hardys, I mean, having Jeff and Cesaro in a singles match, I don't think is a teaser of Jeff going singles because
no.
It was meant to build up the tag teams. They all shook hands afterwards. Both teams did. And, you know, there's some Jason Paul pointed this out over at ProWrestling.net, too. You know, the crowd wasn't really into the match in terms of cheering for somebody to win or lose because they liked both guys. But it was a good match. I think if you're going to have kind of a third hour filler match type thing, like have it two wrestlers who people care about. They don't necessarily have to be in a heated feud if you're trying to kind of pace the show and pace yourself. But that's a kind of match that I think works well as a time filler in the third hour. And it filled a considerable amount of time, about 14 minutes. So, I mean, seeing Jeff in a singles match is a taste of things to come. I thought it was noteworthy, not to get add too many topics to what Dan brought up, but I thought it was noteworthy that Michael Cole said, hey, when you're around Jeff Hardy, you realize he's 6'1", 220. He's rock solid. Like, he's a big guy. They're trying to sell Jeff as not a cruiserweight, but that I thought that meant something. Vince wanted that said for a reason, and I think they're keeping an eye. You know, when we talk about the future of the tag team division, as Dan said, I think a lot of people think, yeah, there's money to be made with the Hardys in the tag division, and it's good, but they should ideally end up somewhere bigger than how WWE currently portrays the tag division. And I think that includes some big money singles matches with Jeff and, for that matter, Matt, especially if he changes his character again to something original and unique.
And I thought that was a great point by Cole to be made, because sitting at home, you do think of Jeff Hardy as a smaller wrestler, not only because of how he flies, but, you know, he's not got muscle upon muscle. You know, he's got a bit of a wiry frame. So I think you kind of lose sight of the fact that he is bigger than he may even appear watching at home. Yeah, for the tag division, you know, Sheamus and Cesaro versus the Hardys is up next at Backlash. So, you know, that's going to be the match there. And I think that it was the right move not to turn Sheamus and Cesaro heel. There may have been some desire to do that. I thought the way it was teased backstage, when they met up backstage, I thought there was a chance that there could be a heel turn by Cesaro and Sheamus. And, you know, you had the shaking of the hands after the match. And I thought I kept an extra close eye on that, seeing if anything was going to progress there. But I did like that they left it open as two baby faces fighting over a title. I think that's fine. Right now it looks like with Dash and Dawson being on the shelf, with Dash Wilder having an injury that'll sideline him for a few months. You know, based on what happened earlier in the show, Anderson and Gallows with Enzo and Cass, and I don't think Enzo and Cass should be the team to beat the Hardys for the title either. If you're going to do that, I don't think Cesaro and Sheamus is a bad choice, but I think the Hardys keep it for a little while. I would say they'd probably keep it until they want Jeff and Matt to go their single ways, because I think that's going to be the destination eventually. But as long as the Hardys have the title, I think you keep them running with that. And then, when you kind of want them to go their separate ways, they can drop the title, because I don't think they're as valuable as a team if they don't have the titles or if they're not in the title hunt.
Sure. Yep. No, I'm with you. All right, let's go next to Cody in Thibodaux, Louisiana. Go ahead, Cody.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for taking my call. I thought it was another very solid show. I think my favorite match on the show was Jeff Hardy and Cesaro. Although I do think Jeff Hardy looked a little slow towards the end. It looked like he was gassed. But overall, I thought it was a great match. Good to see two guys that are generally good in the ring together. I thought it was a relief that we had a night without Roman Reigns on Monday Night Raw. I thought that was a very, very good decision to not have him on the show.
I think he's having a better Monday night than usual.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I really liked how they made Braun Strowman the center of the show. Through key segments on the show, just portraying him as this, you know, as y'all been saying earlier, this big monster. And I thought it was very unique the way they booked the ending of that main event. Because there are only three, because including tonight, there are only three occasions of that happening. With, of course, Brock Lesnar and Big Show, Mark Henry and Big Show, and now Braun Strowman and Big Show. And I think they still would have booked it anyway, regardless of the Brock Lesnar situation, because the common factor is really Big Show. He's been in all three of those moments. And I think I really liked how they made it unique to where, for the first time, out of those three moments, we had one of the guys actually stand, like just get up from that, and that was Braun Strowman. That was very, very good. And I wanted to go back to what John from Arizona was saying at the top of the show, was how it was, you know, how disappointing it would be if they booked Braun Strowman to be so powerful, only to be thwarted by Roman Reigns in the end. I think it's pretty unique we're talking about this, because yesterday I watched the ESPN 30 for 30 about the XFL and how Vince McMahon was so intent on keeping the XFL around, and where it took his, one of his closest friends and business partners, Dick Ebersol, to tell him, look, this is not going to work. And even then, Vince was reluctant to cut ties with the XFL idea. So I guess my question with that is, you know, what is it really going to take for Vince McMahon to decide to pull the trigger and say, look, this babyface thing with Roman is not going to work?
I mean, it's He's going to try, and he's going to keep trying. That's a great example in terms of his stubbornness. Bruce Pritchard on his podcast talked about, you know, how stubborn Vince is and gave an example from back in the day. And, I mean, yes, Vince wants – telling Vince something isn't going to work and his idea is flopping or there's too much resistance to continue with it, it's not that – he's not the type of person who goes, oh, yeah, you presented a good argument. There's some evidence there. I've got, you know, ultimate power. Maybe, and I've got a lot of good ideas, so let's try a different idea. Let's go different. That's not Vince. Vince is like, you know, thank you for speaking. You are now fired, and I am going to continue doing exactly what I'm doing, or something along those lines. And yeah, I mean, I think right now there's no talking to Vince about Roman like there was when there was a hardcore press back during the Lex Luger Bret Hart debate internally. That, speaking of Torch Talks, Jerry Jarrett went into detail on in his Torch Talk with me back in the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter in the 90s, talking about his time sitting around Vince McMahon's dining room table, you know, where the booking meetings took place there and the debates that went on with Patterson and others about Bret and Lex. And Vince did give in that, you know, he was dedicated to Lex, but ended up going with Bret. So it can happen. I just, Greg, don't sense that kind of lobbying is happening or successful, in part because of how even Roman Reigns is talking about it on interviews. He's like, hey, I'm cast as a leading man in a movie. And WWE is that movie, and I'm going out and doing my job. You know, it's very disconnected from the tradition of the business, which is wrestlers feeling like they have a real responsibility to get over. And then the promoter sees who gets over, and they push them. And instead, it's not that it hasn't been done before. It has, but this Roman is an example of a promoter picking somebody and pushing them in a way that a big part of the fan base is rejecting. And then they frame it in their own mind and they put the spin on it that, well, at least he's getting a reaction. So that's good. You know, Jack Corpella, ex-WWE announcer, was on the show over a year ago and was just saying, oh yeah, as long as you're getting a reaction, that's good. That's what we're looking for. And I just think that's kind of the corporate Kool-Aid in WWE. You want fans to react in sync with how you cast your characters. They don't want people, for instance, booing the Hardys right now. The Hardys getting booed would not be a good thing because it's a reaction. That would be the opposite of what they're hoping for in framing. And you can pick a lot of examples of that out. If Bailey continues to get catcalls, that's bad. It's not good just because she's getting a reaction. Greg, do you think, I mean, we get the question all the time, but is there any chance that Vince blinks anytime soon, or do you think he's on a long-term plan and until that Roman-Lesnar match takes place, there's no turn?
I think if he wakes up one day and just says, man, I'm just tired of fighting this. I that's the only way it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to be anyone talking him into it. I don't think it's going to be anyone sitting down with him and saying, Vince, this has to change. Maybe Dick Ebersol. Maybe they need to bring him in. He needs to convince Vince that this Roman Reigns push is not working. I say it kind of in jest as far as when Vince is tired of fighting it, because he seems to thrive on that. He seems to thrive on the pushback. So I don't think he'll get tired of fighting it. Even at his age, even with as many hours as he puts in, even now in the business, he truly does live and breathe it, as everyone who will work, who's worked for him will attest.
Yes.
So I just don't see it changing. I really don't. You know, a year ago, 6 months from now, I may have laid out scenarios. Well, if this and this continues to happen, or if this happens, you know, maybe. But today, I just don't see a scenario where it changes.
Cody, did anything else jump out to you about the XFL documentary? I did a cover story on that a couple months back in the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter. I thought it was a fascinating documentary. What jumped out to you? What do you take from it?
The initial thing that jumped out at me, which surprisingly enough had nothing to do with the actual XFL, was just the fact that in the late 80s, early 90s, how dominant NBC was in the sports networking.
Yeah.
Just how much, and then how much like it was heavily relied on football, and then when that left, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of panic, and to be honest, do you think that something like the XFL, because Vince at the end of the documentary, him and Dick, you know, years later, were talking about how it's still an idea that can be presented, but how to present it. It would have to be presented differently. So, so I guess from that, like, do you think that something like a different type of football league would still, you know, if presented differently than the XFL, would still be an idea to run with?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I think the NFL is even a more dominant brand now. And then when you look at the idea that now there's a backlash against football itself because of concussions, I think there's even less of a market for an offshoot. But I think it was fascinating that the part of the reason the XFL was born was because, well, NBC has this big sports staff, and these people are good at what they do. We just need to develop a new league. And Vince was had the Midas touch with the Attitude Era and was a ratings juggernaut. And they made news during that time too, that Raw was taking a dent out of NFL ratings on Monday nights. And so the feeling was, well, if a guy who can pull NFL fans over to this pro wrestling show, if he did football, it would work. Yeah, it was a fascinating story. If you're a VIP member or not and sign up, it's the February 8th Wade Keller Hotline. I did 44 minutes of analysis on this. I reviewed the documentary. I assessed whether it told an accurate story of the failure. And I talked about how significant of a chapter that was in Vince McMahon's professional legacy. I thought it was a really interesting documentary on a number of levels. And you pulled something from it too, even non-wrestling. Cody, as far as the idea of, you know, the sports landscape and how big NBC was at that point during early years of cable, or I wouldn't call it early years of cable, but at a time when broadcast networks still had more power than they do now. So anyway, cool. Cody, thanks.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Feel free to follow up if you want.
I totally agree. I just wanted to make another quick comment about the show tonight. I just wanted to just say how amazed I am with how much in a role the Hardys have been. Like, you know, just thinking, going back to a few months ago, they were the Impact Tag Team Champions, and then not too long after that, they were Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champions for a while, and now on Monday Night Raw, being the Raw Tag Team Champions. But I think that's pretty impressive as to, you know, how successful that they've been in the past few months. But that's really all I wanted to share with you. I wish all the best for your Minnesota Wild. It's not looking good. For your sake, I hope they can pull themselves out of this hole.
Oh, I'm predicting 4 in a row. They've done it before. They had a huge win streak during the regular season. They can do it again. It's been a tight series. So is unlikely as St. Louis winning 3 times in a row. If that happens, then the Wild can win 3 in a row and then bring on Game 7 at the X. Yes, I'm still hoping. I'm not. Yeah, but we got 3 days to stew in this in the media, the sports media, to absorb this. I got the Calgary Flames and Anaheim Ducks on in the background. I'm not going to do spoilers in case there's like one person out there who like is DVRing the game because it's late and they're watching it. But that said, when I see the Calgary Flames jerseys with that C, it just brings me back to my childhood being an NHL fan and the North Stars with the N on the logo. It's one of the great. I just love that when I see the Calgary Flames logo, even though the orange is gone. The Hartford Whalers and the North Stars, those are the logos that jump out to me from that era. So it's cool that Canadian team like Calgary is in the playoffs again. Anyway, Cody,
oh, yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, go ahead.
No problem.
All right, cool. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right, we're going to go another break. When we come back, we'll do our final segment here. I do have an email queued up about the 4-way women's match. That I definitely want to talk about. So Greg and I will talk about that after the break and then another call or two.
Do you love Pro Wrestling Torch? Then we've got another show just for you, Ring Rust Radio.
Ring Rust Radio breaks down the hottest topics and news from around the wrestling world, including WWE Raw, SmackDown, and pay-per-views, TNA, Lucha Underground, New Japan, and indie wrestling. Edit in interviews with the biggest names in the industry like Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Paul Heyman, Kurt Angle, and many more. And Ring Rust Radio has something for everyone.
Check out the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Interact with us on Twitter at Ring Rust Radio and email us at ringrustradio@yahoo.com.
All right, we are back. You can follow me on Twitter, by the way, at the Wade Keller, THEWADEKELLER. And you can follow our brand at PW Torch. our sister brand at MMA Torch, and our revived website, PW Podcasts, at PW Podcasts. Greg, how can or should people follow you on social media?
I'm on Twitter at Greg M. Parks.
Simple enough. Excellent. Right. Oh, and by the way, you can also like us on Facebook, facebook.com/PWTorch. All right. The email that I mentioned, Greg, brought up a topic we haven't gotten to yet. So, well, one that we already talked about and then one that we haven't. Sean P. from Murfreesboro says, sorry I couldn't call in tonight, but I wanted to get your opinion on the women's match. But first, I want to say that Braun and Big Show did put on another good match, and the fans did get a good thrill in the end. Just trying to get Roman to go over on a strong Braun again, ugh. Anyway, I thought the women's four-way match was really good. I wanted to get your thoughts. I think it is good to put Alexa over tonight, but do you think she will beat Bayley at Payback? I think they should have Sasha go heel on Bayley and then get her away from the title for a while to get her character back on track. How do you think it'll go down? Again, Wade, thanks for all the amazing content you give each week. Hopefully I can call in next week. Have a good night. Yeah, Greg, the four-way women's match, what'd you think? I mean, there were some clunky moments with Nia Jax again, but your thoughts on the match as a whole?
What I really liked about this match is, first of all, Alexa Bliss winning and going against Bayley, I think, is the right move. I think their personalities are so at opposite ends of the spectrum that just from a pure character standpoint, I think the build-up is going to be really fun. And, Alexa Bliss has done such a great job as a character. Her in-ring work is a little behind that, so I'm interested to see what kind of match Bayley can get out of her. But also, I thought the four-way women's match was a really nice preview of the kind of the matchups that we can see on Raw. And it kind of got me excited for the women's division on Raw. You know, Mickie James, Sasha Banks is there. So is Sasha, Alexa Bliss. Even Mickie James, Nia Jax, I think, would be interesting. So to me, that's what I got out of that. The match may not have been all get out, but I think it really did a nice job of previewing some interesting one-on-one matchups and feuds going forward for the next several months.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on Alexa Bliss and Bayley. I think Bliss is the right personality to bring out what needs to be brought out in Bayley. I think the fans, even those who appreciate Alexa Bliss, would boo her if Bayley comes across the way that Bayley did in NXT. I think people who like appreciate Alexa's talent at being so snotty would enjoy booing her and go with the program. So I think that's a lot of fun. Mickie James, I think, has been lost a little bit by being with Alexa and then sort of breaking up, but not really having a big defining promo moment in the ring. She's had some ups and downs, some of that on her opponents. It's just, I feel like something should have gone better with Mickie so far. That said, she's Mickie James, and she should be positioned sooner than later in a good one-on-one feud. And that's what I want to see post-Mania season, is the women going back to just being in one-on-one matches or even a two-on-two feud if it makes sense, and not all these multi-person matches. Okay, let's go to Kenny in Mobile, Alabama. Kenny, go ahead and tell us what's on your mind tonight.
Yeah, guys, how y'all doing this evening?
Good, thanks for calling.
Yeah, well, I just had a few comments and just a couple questions. I like Alexa going over tonight. I thought that was a really good call. I'm really pulling for her. And I never thought I'd say that, being a Bayley fan that I was a long time ago, but she just seems to have really taken a hit due to the booking, which y'all just talked on that. The other thing is the Braun Strowman angle and then building him, and people talking about who's going to go over between Roman and him. Do you guys think we're going to get the Braun Strowman-Lesnar match at SummerSlam and then Roman and Lesnar at Mania again? Or what do y'all see on this head?
Greg, what do you think?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Do they save the first, not really the first, but in this cycle, the first Reigns-Lesnar match for next year's WrestleMania? Or do they do it, say, at SummerSlam, and then, you know, something happens, there's a schmoz at the end or whatever, and they revisit it at WrestleMania, which enough time will have elapsed in between those two to where it doesn't feel like you're getting a rehash at WrestleMania, presumably in the main event. We can pretty much write in pen Lesnar and Reigns at WrestleMania next year from the sounds of it at this point. So, you know, are they able to hold off? Can they do Reigns and Strowman enough times and Lesnar and Strowman enough times to eventually get to Lesnar and Reigns? You know, who beats up Braun Strowman the worst? Maybe that's how the feud will start. You know, I beat up Braun Strowman this badly. Oh, well, I beat him up this badly. Oh, yeah, you know, whatever. I don't know. I'm delirious. It's 12:30 in the morning. So, you know, I don't know. I think that's going to be the interesting thing to watch. I think some combination of Reigns, Lesnar, and Strowman, though, are going to be on the top of the Raw card and at the top of the Raw pay-per-view cards, probably going into September.
Yeah, I mean, I think Lesnar Strowman feels like a SummerSlam match to me, just based on the teasers and, you know, standing opposite each other. I mean, Braun standing over Brock, looking down at him, was quite the visual. That's where I think things are headed. It feels like SummerSlam is the right pace, Kenny.
I mean, that's where I kind of see it heading. You know, New Orleans is only 3 hours from where I live for next year, and I really don't want to see another Roman Reigns headlining WrestleMania match. I read an article back at WrestleMania 31, and I can't remember who wrote the article, but the headline on it was Reigns to headline the next 5 WrestleManias. And I read that, and I was like, that's bull crap. That will never happen. And then, okay, so we did 31, 32, and now 33, so that article is only 2 years off from being correct, so I don't know. I mean, I want to go to Mania and the spectacle and everything, but with Reigns headlining again, it's just kind of bleh. But I appreciate all you guys do.
Thanks, Kenny. Appreciate it. All right, well, Greg, we've gone long here, but I'll wrap up with we got 3 different emails all on the same topic, which is continuity post-superstar shakeup. I'll just hit they're all short here. Josh from Bristol, UK says, I may be being picky, but why is Bray Wyatt addressing a SmackDown Live wrestler on Raw? He clearly has jurisdiction across both shows, so wouldn't it have made more sense for him to wait until tomorrow when Orton was actually in the building he was addressing? Also, I apologize if this starts you off on a rant, but I didn't pick up on a single mention of the match being for the WWE Championship, not from Bray or the announcers, which just blows my mind. Then Josh from Meridian, Mississippi says, do you think the teasing of a six-pack challenge match tomorrow night on SmackDown potentially further gives away the winner of the House of Horrors match at Payback? How will they have a number one contender on SmackDown for a title that moves to Raw? Also, any speculation on what the House of Horrors match will entail? Could it be the next gimmick match that becomes a staple of big matches, such as Hell in a Cell? And then finally, Mike says, I know that complaining about continuity in 2017 WWE is like complaining that Florida is hot, but they've outdone themselves this time. The U.S. title has a stipulation that the winner moves to SmackDown with the belt, which is weird because Owens is talking like he's already there. They seem to have backtracked and said that if Jericho wins, he'll move with Owens and the belt. That was my understanding, too. That at least makes a little bit of sense. The WWE picture, however, title picture, is something totally different. Wyatt is on Raw. There's been no mention at all of what happens to the title if he wins. Not only that, but SmackDown being a number one contenders match for a title they may not even own in 2 weeks. While I would love to hold out hope that they could have Bray win and SmackDown could build a unique story around a number one contender with no title, I think we all know this is a blow-off. Is this a case of two writers not communicating and oversight, or just WWE being WWE? Greg, go ahead and tackle that. House of Horrors is kind of a separate topic, but the continuity issue, does that bother you? Or you just think, hey, they're going to sweep this all up, clean it up by Payback. Let's not get too worked up about it. It is sort of giving things away, but you know, it's giving away Bray's probably losing and that Owens is probably winning, although that's less of a guarantee. Are you bothered by this at all?
It's a little messy and it's a little distracting, I would say. With the way the pay-per-views are done, it's hard not to run into this kind of situation, though, because the pay-per-views come so frequently now with the brand split. So it's kind of, you know, you just have to take it as it comes, and then once you get over that hump, it kind of smooths itself out. So that's kind of my perspective on it at this point. I mean, we're talking about the superstar shakeup, which, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was never really explained how the superstars were actually shaken up. So that's an even bigger plot hole to me than any of the title situations that are going on vis-a-vis the upcoming pay-per-view. So because they didn't even bother to explain how the superstars move from show to show, maybe that's why this doesn't bother me so much.
You know, I thought they did a better job than you and some others have said about that. Because I think, and I wish they did a better job, no question about it. But I think the pieces were there and references the announcers made saying the GMs negotiated and essentially, I think they avoided the word trade, but maybe they slipped that in. I just wish they were more overt in saying that trades were made, because you can line them up. I mean, I talked about it last week. You know, you can line up the trades. It's pretty clear which women got traded for which women and which main event talent, you know, got traded for which main event talent. It lines up pretty well. So, I mean, I wish they just would have been more overt about it, but I thought it was, maybe they just thought it was understood and they didn't need to explain it as much. But I think they should have explained it better, but it was more than implied. It was alluded to enough that the GMs from each brand got on the phone and decided which trades they would make. And just like a hockey trade or a basketball trade, they made trades. But I don't get why they weren't more overt and didn't even put, I think it would have been a lot of fun because, you know, they want social media traffic for WWE. They want WWE fans talking about the product. Well, instead of having heels wish baby faces happy birthdays and posing for pictures together, why not have real good debate going on about who made better trades and be overt about it and put it out there on social media and have wrestlers commenting on it? I'd like to see wrestlers on social media going, I think that the trades that Shane and Brian made were weak compared to Raw, and here's why. And get that kind of conversation going that fits storylines. And I think there was a lost opportunity. And now we're just the ones sort of having that talk instead of WWE. Greg, that's anything you want to say after that?
I think that it was certainly lost opportunity as far as not getting the GM or commissioner perspective on it. If they were trades, you know, these trades were made for a reason. What's the reasoning behind it? And we didn't even, for as much as they love shoehorning GM and commissioners into feuds and showing them on TV way more than normal, although they've been really good with Kurt Angle the last few weeks on Raw, they didn't really give the perspective of why these trades were made or anything like that. And I thought that would have been helpful to at least give an understanding to the fans of why these moves were made.
I mean, think of the debate that they could have had saying, was it a good trade for Kevin Owens for Bray Wyatt? Was it a good trade for Charlotte and Tamina traded for Alexa Bliss and Mickey? You could debate that. Charlotte's the biggest star of all the women, but Bliss was a champion. Mickey and Tamina, like, you can have that debate. Sin Cara Kalisto. Well, that's an easy swap. Rusev and Lana for Miz and Maryse. Seems like that's who got swapped. New Day for Apollo Crews. Wait, 3-1? What's going on here? You know, New Day can be upset. Sami Zayn for Dean Ambrose seemed to be maybe something that they did, although Dean is probably a bigger star than Sami at this point. So you could say, oh, that one really favored SmackDown. But maybe you say it was New Day and Sami for Dean and Crews. And now it starts to feel a little more even. So they could have presented it that way. Epico and Primo for Rhino and Slater. Pretty straightforward. So they could have had some fun debate about that if they just would have framed it that way. Because what's weird, Greg, is that's what really happened. Like, I mean, I don't mean Daniel Bryan got on the phone with Kurt Angle, but Vince McMahon sat down and said, all right, we got to reshuffle this lineup, but we have to stay even. We can't trade too many people either way. Raw got Ty Dillinger, The Drifter, and The Revival. The Hardys. They got Raw got the Hardys and then SmackDown got Shinsuke, and then Ty Dillinger went to SmackDown, and Drifter and Revival went to Raw. So when you add those names and you look at the trades, Vince had to sit down and go, does this all balance out? And I think it's a pretty balanced thing. We put a poll up on pwtorch.com and the results were pretty even in terms of who people thought won. I encourage them the next time they do this, let the fans in on it. There's nothing to run from here. You know, if they're worried about hurting feelings, well, maybe Dean is upset that he got traded for Sami, but you can just say, well, it was Dean and Apollo Crews for four guys, Sami and New Day. And then it seems a little bit more even. So, but yeah, it's 25% thought Raw did better. 34% thought SmackDown did better. 25% in our poll said they were treated equally. And then there was 10% said they feel not a lot changed, and 6% said the mix of talent is worse now than before. So that's kind of how our poll turned out.
You know, you could have had something on Talking Smack last week once all the moves were all made. You could have said, we're going to show you clips of Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan sitting down with Kurt Angle to make these moves. so that we get a glimpse of their thinking, and you see the negotiation. You know, the NFL draft is coming up. What's the most interesting thing about the NFL draft is when the NFL Network shows the war rooms of the teams and shows, you know, they don't air the audio of it for obvious reasons, but they show the conversations going on in the draft room about who to draft. You know, imagine, and they wouldn't, this wouldn't be done live, and you wouldn't show the whole thing. You just show the clips of it because, you know, like you said, you don't want the reveal of, hey, New Day's being traded for Apollo Crews and whatever like that. But you'd show clips of the conversations going back and forth and get into their head and why these moves are being made. And you could have, you know, showed clips of that on Talking Smack just to give the fans a glimpse of how the process went down. Because I think
fans would eat that up.
Are very interested in that kind of thing. Yeah.
I mean, you think about the NFL draft, and I mean, how long conversation goes on about that, and every time there's a trade in any pro sport, it's a big deal. I mean, WWE should take advantage of that. I mean, that is something that I think engages fans post-WrestleMania and gets them talking about your brand. And yeah, I thought it was a lost opportunity. And again, they have nothing to run from. There's no shame or harm in saying Bray was traded for Kevin Owens. I mean, that feels they're both championship-level guys. You know, so, I mean, yeah, they're just, it was genuinely meant to be even. It turned out, I think, to be really close to even. So, yeah, embrace that and turn it into something more. Greg, thanks a lot. Really enjoyed our conversation tonight.
Yep, thank you, Wade.
Absolutely. Greg Parks, check out his column every week on page 10 of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter. And he's a regular guest here, a co-host on this show, and also hosts with Pat McNeil the post-pay-per-view editions of the PW Torch livecast. Thanks to all the listeners. We talked about VIP earlier. One cool perk that comes with VIP membership are the retro radio shows. The Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio show hosted by John Arezzi ran from the late 80s through the mid 90s, and every Thursday night a new episode of that drops. Every once in a while we sprinkle in a Total Chaos radio show from the Attitude Era hosted by Jim Valley, and you can catch up on a lot of shows that we've posted, dozens and dozens and dozens the past few years, when you go VIP instantly. But otherwise a new one drops chronologically every Thursday night. Here are some more details on that and more instructions on going VIP. As a PW Torch livecast listener, you've probably heard me talk about PW Torch VIP membership. One of the great perks about becoming a PW Torch VIP member at pwtorch.com/govip is access to vintage radio shows that are only available with a PW Torch VIP membership. The entire run of the Pro Wrestling Focus radio show that I hosted on KFAN in the early 1990s, over 100 episodes, available when you sign up instantly. Also, on an ongoing basis, we're adding more Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio shows hosted by John Arezzi in New York, which ran from the late 80s through the mid-1990s. These shows have not been heard since they aired originally on New York radio, and VIP members have access to listen to them exclusively as part of their VIP membership. Also, Total Chaos Radio, hosted by PW Torch livecast Saturday morning wrestling host Jim Valley during the Attitude Era, are also part of a VIP membership, new ones added on a regular basis. These vintage classic radio shows with big name interviews, guest analysts, including me, on a regular basis talking about the news of the day with the hosts, are accessible when you become a VIP member through our ad-free VIP website. You can stream them right on your phone or right on your computer, but also an RSS feed that is accessible only for VIP members via popular apps on iPhone, Android, and even iTunes. Check it out. It's a big perk that comes with a VIP membership. Get details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Have a blast listening to familiar voices from this live cast talk about wrestling from the 1990s through the Attitude Era exclusively as a PW Torch VIP member. All right, so tomorrow night following SmackDown, join me live for the post-SmackDown edition of the PW Torch live cast. And then Wednesday, Sean Radican, Pro Wrestling Torch columnist who covers New Japan and the indie scene primarily for Pro Wrestling Torch for over a dozen years, joins me. If he's able to make it, he's dealing with a sinus infection right now. So we're hoping that he's able to join us. And then Thursday, Matt McCarthy, ex-creative team member with WWE, host of the We Watch Wrestling podcast, and professional stand-up comedian, joins me. He is a recurring guest on the show, and we always have a blast when he's on. So join us then. And then Friday, Bruce Mitchell and Rich Fan for Primetime Friday. But lest I forget, the post-Impact show on Thursday with Andrew Socek, co-hosting with Mike McMahon, who covers Impact for PWTorch.com live on Thursday nights. As soon as the show ends, they're on the air talking with you about Impact Wrestling. So join them too. Two shows every Thursday now. Interview Thursday midday, and then the evening post-Impact show. So lots of stuff coming up this week, and we appreciate you listening to this show. We got tens of millions of downloads since we started the show back at the very end of 2009, and we thank all of you for supporting what we do here and helping us continue to grow. Thanks to our callers, a really great group of diverse callers today, including some first-time callers and some VIP members we hadn't heard from before. So that is awesome, along with some of our regulars. Don't forget, you can support us when you shop Amazon. Every time you're about to type Amazon.com, think of us. Take a slight detour and go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. Click on the link. You go right to Amazon anyway and shop away. And we get a commission because you did that. So it's a way to throw a little extra buck, a few extra bucks in our tip jar. Also, Loot Crate deadline is coming up on the 19th. That's Wednesday at 9 Pacific, midnight Eastern. But check it out, lootcrate.com, and save $3 if you subscribe with promo code PWTORCH. And check out our t-shirts. We'd love to have you wearing Pro Wrestling, or excuse me, PW Torch Livecast t-shirts. We also just have a regular PW Torch logo t-shirt. Go check them out at pwtorchtees.com. And I think that will do it for my plugs. So thanks, everybody. And until tomorrow, Wade Keller, on behalf of Greg Parks, signing off. Yeah.